Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
All week, we've been talking about election infrastructure in the United States. How does it work? Where does it fail? And how could it be better? Yesterday, we heard some practical solutions to fixing our vulnerable election infrastructure right now. Today, we're going back to some of the experts we've had on the show and asking them to think about the big, ambitious ideas that could improve our voting system in the future, like perhaps an online voting system or a nationalized voting app.
I don't know that there need to be big ideas.
There's no magic bullet.
Duncan Buell is a professor in the Department of Computer Science and Engineering at the University of South Carolina, and Marion Schneider is the president of Verified Voting, an election integrity advocacy group. We asked them about tech ideas, like online voting, for instance, that we should consider. But it turns out the issue can't just be solved by shiny new tech and crazy new ideas. Our experts say this is about going back to basics.
We need to adopt a technology that has been well understood, and that technology is paper. We have a horrible record of producing software that doesn't quite work and that under time-critical conditions doesn't work properly. We need to get rid of as much of the electronics as we possibly can.
Still, some of the new tech options out there for voting do sound promising. One example that caught our eye is in West Virginia, which is allowing a slice of its electorate to vote this season using a smartphone app that uses blockchain technology. And we asked our experts, could app-based voting be the answer to our infrastructure woes?
There are a number of issues with the idea of blockchains for voting. First of all, they don't really solve any of the problems that exist with something like online voting. And I think it was Joseph Lorenzo Hall who referred to cell phone voting as perhaps the most horrible idea ever that anybody ever came up with.
The internet, as we know, is not secure. And anything that could interfere with transmitting voting materials over the internet, which is what you do when you use your phone, whether you like it or not, it could be intercepted, it could be spoofed, it could be sent to the wrong site. Anything that could happen to transmissions over the internet can happen in the West Virginia model.
In the Catalonian referendum for independence, there's a photograph of a ballot box on a table chained to a huge concrete block underneath so the ballot box can't be moved. That's an appropriate use of blockchains for voting.
Larry Norden agrees with that sentiment, and he's the deputy director of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice.
I think there's a massive push for voting online and voting by phone. And frankly, we have a hard enough time getting right what we're doing right now. We don't invest enough in elections. The idea of adding a whole new layer of insecurity to our elections seems crazy to me.
For Janae Nelson, the Associate Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, the biggest issue going forward is ensuring equal access to the polls and fighting voter suppression.
Racial equity in electoral processes would be guaranteed by a robust Voting Rights Act that applies nationwide.
That might seem pie in the sky at the moment after the Supreme Court struck down one of the key provisions of the Voting Rights Act in 2013. But Nelson says it's people that will keep elections fair.
I feel like I want to say something that's just absolutely mind-blowing, like some major technological innovation that would, just change all sorts of social ills. But I don't think it's that easy. I think the work of democracy requires imagination and tenacity and, a certain sort of deliberation that some people are too impatient for. But I think more people are becoming increasingly aware of the importance of it and willing to stick with it and fight it out. And that's what's just incredibly encouraging, even at this very dismal political moment in our country.
So what about outside technology? What other ideas should we consider to close the gaps in a voting system that, for many, is vulnerable and fragmented?
We need to talk about whether the machinery of our democracy, whether the way we count our votes needs to be publicly owned, and so that it's a transparent process, and that when it's publicly owned, whether it's an open source software system, or at least a disclosed source, so that there can be the needed transparency around our elections to make it better.
Making Election Day a national holiday, I think that's a fine idea. Even if Election Day was a national holiday, not everybody would be able to take advantage of that. People have all kinds of reasons why just voting on one day can be really difficult for them. So I would add expanding early voting to any national holiday.
I think companies should give their employees paid time off to go vote. I'd like to see companies give employees paid time off to serve as poll workers. I think we need to all get together and do everything we can to encourage participation in democracy.
Democracy would function with a well-resourced, multiracial, multi-ethnic, multilingual election system that automatically registers voters starting at 16 years old, who can vote in local elections, who can then have full participation at 18, who would not be removed ever for not voting or for having a criminal conviction or for any other arbitrary reason.
For now, according to Jessica Hoosman, a reporter with ProPublica and the lead reporter for Electionland, it all comes down to this.
$1 billion.
That's what it would cost the government to replace our old voting machines, a step that she says could make the election process more fair for everyone.
And that would solve a lot of perception problems and also logistical issues on Election Day.
And really, is that so unrealistic?
In 2002, the Help America Vote Act apportioned $3.65 billion to shoring up America's election infrastructure systems. So $1 billion actually seems like a pretty reasonable amount when you take that into consideration. The problem is there's no federal will to do it. It's going to take a huge disaster, larger than what we saw in 2016, for people to realize that the voting machines are out of date. Because the last time we apportioned money to voting machines and election infrastructure was in 2002, that means that the majority of the machines that we're voting on today were built on technology that is older than the first iPhone. So there's no wonder why they fail, and there's no wonder why people think that they're hacked all the time. Really, they're just old and they need to be replaced.
So are you listening, Washington? These experts say we need money to get our election infrastructure back on track.